As you probably remember, one of the things I do here in the Diocese of Virginia is I'm currently the Dean of the West Richmond region. And I will be for one more year, and then somebody else will. That doesn't mean all that much, you know. If I went to Starbucks, I'd still be charged full price and all that. But I gather the clergy of this particular region once a month, and we do things, and then I have to maybe answer questions about this or that, and I meet with the bishop and all the other deans at a meeting, and it's not that much really, but there you are. It's one of the things we do. One of the first meetings of the clergy that I had, which by the way is called a clericus meeting, if that comes up on Jeopardy, you will know what that's about. And one of the first clericus meetings that I had, one of the churches in the region did not have a rector. The rector had retired. So the senior warden came. She gets in touch and says, may I come? Oh, yes, please come. Come to the clericus meeting. So we're talking about things, and she joins in some. And then the next day she emails me and says, thank you for allowing me to come to the meeting. It was very insightful because I've discovered that all of you don't know what you're doing either, along with the rest of us. It's absolutely true. Absolutely true. And let me give you a little more serious example of that. When I was doing my doctoral studies at Fuller, Fuller Seminary, the Doctor of Ministry, one of the main ideas that came through in my study is this. The leader carries the vision. It's one of the main responsibilities. And so in every church, the pastor, or the senior pastor, or the rector, or vicar, whatever it is in that church, carries the vision, gets the vision from God, and then tells everybody else what the vision is, and hopefully everybody else will join in. And I considered that my responsibility. I took that very seriously. And I would, from year to year, perhaps you haven't noticed it lately, I'll tell you why in a minute, but from year to year, I would say, this I believe is the direction that God wants us to go this year. And you try to think up a catchy phrase to describe it, and hopefully the whole church will go along in that direction, and things will be great. I considered it my responsibility to motivate people into the vision that I was telling them God had set. And I burn out badly on that, very badly. I had fatigue I could not shake for a long time until I got some specific prayer, which took 3 days. I went somewhere for 3 days and had ministry. I've shared bits of that story before. We don't have to go into those details, but you get the idea. Now, today, as I look at that, I realize, and I'm of the conviction, that me burning out, as much as I don't ever want to do that again, was not the main thing about that. There is something even worse, if you will, something beyond that, something which is underneath that, which is the main problem with that approach, where the leader gets the vision, tells everybody what it is, gets them all excited, and hopes everybody gets into it. There's a main problem with that. Now, before I tell you, I'm hoping you're starting to feel more relieved. You're not. Okay, let me keep going. The main problem with that is this. If the leader is supposed to bring the vision and all the ideas, that means you do not. If the leader is the one who God has chosen and made able to receive the vision for the church and get all the ideas about it and get people signed up for that, that means you are not chosen by God for that or equipped by God for that or asked by God to do anything like that. That's just wrong. You, the faithful, generous people who love God and gather at the table of the Lord every week to worship God, to suggest that you are not the ones that God's going to give any kind of vision or idea or anything to? That's just wrong. You are loved by God. You are chosen by God. God runs after you. God looks for you. There's no reason for you to be demeaned by the thought that only the leader says what's going to happen at this church. I was hoping for a couple of amens or something around there, but amen. Thank you. All right. It's demeaning to you for that. It assumes you have no faith or no gifting. It assumes that the only relationship you have with God is through the preacher. This is just not the case. This has no resemblance to the Christian faith. I don't know how strongly to say it, but it's just not so. It's just not so. God loves you and gives you gifts and little promptings. And big promptings, and all kinds of things that come from the mercy of God flow to you directly, and you don't need me or anybody else to tell you that that's what's happening. Now, together, in a fellowship, that gets magnified, and we get more confident in what God is telling us. In fact, I think that the call of a leader is to help every member, everyone involved with the fellowship, to catch and receive and grow in what God is asking you to do. It's not to convince you into what I think the church ought to do. That's why God seeks after you, runs after you, gives you gifts for ministry, lifts you up when you have fallen, makes you strong in the spirit, does all these kinds of things with you and will forever. See, I think the way that this happens is that God disrupts us. It's kind of one of the main things God does, is disrupt us. Disrupt our personal lives, disrupt our church lives, disrupt everything about us. God will come along and disrupt it for one purpose, and that is so that all of us can join in with what God is doing. God disrupts us so that we can join in with what God is doing. Is everybody okay? Because I think I've just told you two things that perhaps you didn't believe or never heard before. And the first one is, it's not the leader of the church who says what the vision is. It's shared with God. God shares it with everybody. And the second is, God actually disrupts us to join us, to invite us to join in. That's a very different path than, you know, we'll have a great service and feel great and see each other and it'll be great. Then we'll still have a great service and see each other and it'll be great, but that is not the goal. The goal is to catch what God is asking each of us to do and encourage each of us in doing that. Okay. All right, at this point, let me just point out that if I were Christy Foldenauer, I would say, get out a pencil and a piece of paper and write this down. These things I've just told you, write them down. This is how you live the Christian life. Do you need a minute? Way to go, Patty. You see what Patty's doing? Do what Patty's doing. All right. John Wimber used to say about the vineyard, and we sing some vineyard songs, and he was a great influence on the American church in the 80s and 90s. John Wimber used to say, everybody gets to play. I mean, were you ever the last one chosen on the playground for the team? Maybe you left before you got to be chosen as the last one. Wimber, and I believe he's correct, said, that's not following Jesus. Everybody gets to play. Now, the reading from Revelation that Rick read just a few minutes ago, at the very end of that reading, the last verse, it reads this: I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. These things that I'm sharing with you today, they are embedded in those names. So let me point out a little bit of how that works. First of all, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Alpha and Omega being Greek for beginning and end. That also means that it's not just the start and the finish, but Jesus is there in everything in between. Between the beginning and the end and all of it. Just all of it. That means Jesus is there with you. Wherever you were in all of it. And Jesus is bringing things to you in the middle of wherever you were in the middle of all of it. Because Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. It also says that he is the Lord God. The Lord God, that's the one who disrupts. Any Lord you have disrupts you. Because you're going this way, and then the Lord says, wait a minute, over here. And Jesus will say to you, wait a minute, over here. And that disruption will show that it all comes from God. And God is inviting you into everything God is doing, equipping you and giving you gifts for that. Then the next name that you see in that verse is who was and is to come, same as the Alpha and the Omega. Kind of gets that middle part in there. Who was, the Alpha, who is, the middle part right now, and is to come, the end. And we're living in the is part, where Jesus is active right now at this moment with each of us, equally. And then the last one is the Almighty. And that is the one who can do all things. And the choice of the Almighty is to do some of these all things with us and through us. With you and through you, with me and through me. Just choosing whoever to do these things with. That's what that means. It means a lot of other things too, but it means that. When our own systems have been disrupted, God is always there with an invitation to join in with whatever the Spirit of God is doing. Now, I don't want there to be any mistake. I don't want there to be any misunderstanding at all. I am in no way suggesting, by any means, by any stretch of the imagination of any kind, that God sent a pandemic upon the world. For whatever reason you might think. Under no circumstances is that the case. I hope I'm being clear. This is just not true. And it doesn't matter to me if you heard that from somebody else. They are wrong. And God did not do that. However, God will disrupt our systems. God will disrupt things that are going on in our lives. And even if God did not disrupt something going on in our lives, but there is a disruption, God is right there inviting us to join in
with what the Spirit of God is doing.
Obviously, the pandemic is a disruption, not caused by God, but nonetheless, God is right there with us every day, all the time, saying, come on over here. I have something for you. There's something we can do together. And it may be a very small thing, maybe something that takes a long while, it may be a big thing, it could be any kind of thing. But God is inviting us into what is going on by His Spirit. That is the normal Christian life. For God to say, hey you, and then come over here. You remember the Apostle Paul? There's all kinds of other examples as well. That's the normal Christian life. God to break in and say, come with me. Our task is to join in with whatever God is doing in our own life and the lives of those around us. Now that brings us to what I think is the primary skill in living a Christian life. Let me suggest it this way. To not have this primary skill is to slip and slide through the Christian life and not go where God asks you to go. It doesn't mean you're not loved by God. It doesn't mean that things aren't going to go well for you. It doesn't mean you're kicked out of the kingdom. What it means is there is a lifestyle, a rhythm of the Christian life, and there's a primary skill which helps you stay in that rhythm. And that primary skill is discernment. It is discerning, it is picking up on, it is noticing what God is doing in your life, among our neighbors, among our friends, among others that we see, so that we can join in with that. Usually what happens right there when I say something like that, and maybe you're thinking it right now, is this. Well, I'm not going to go over to my neighbor with tracts or an open Bible or whatever and knock on their door and tell them to get saved. Well, don't do that. Do what God is doing. What is God doing in somebody's life? And is God inviting you to join in with that? You have gifting for that. You have calling for that. That's what God is asking of you. Let me give you some examples of how this works. Perhaps you have noticed that there are people in your life now who are mourning the death of loved ones. You know, it's just part of what goes on with them. Something perhaps new, newly arrived in their life. Why are you noticing that? Why does that stay with you? Is God pointing something out to you? Is God inviting you to join in with what is already happening by the Spirit of God with that person or the few that are around? That doesn't mean you go find the biggest Bible you can find and knock on their door. You do what God is doing, whatever it is, mercy, listening, presence, whatever. Here's another one. Perhaps you've noticed hungry people right here, and a number of us have, by volunteering at the food pantry in the county. But maybe you've begun to notice some other things. Maybe you've noticed that there's some of your neighbors whose investments have not produced what they normally produce. And then they don't have enough money at the end of the month. And that last week or days, they don't have enough to eat.
and they're not going to tell anybody. But you've noticed it. Why did God show you that? How does God want you to join in with what's going on there? I mean, obviously, you just can't show up with two bags of groceries and said, you're looking a little gaunt these days. There's something else. There's a door God's opening and equipping you to approach. Let me give you one more example. Are there grandchildren? There's a couple of grandchildren here. Are there grandchildren you have noticed? Or grandparents you have noticed? And something's happening with them. Something's stirring. Something's going on that you had never seen before or noticed before. Is God showing you something for a purpose or a reason? Is there something going on in that family's life? Is God opening a door for you to take some kind of step? Now, let's keep going with that example. Let's say you notice that, and let's say you see the door, and let's say you understand there's a step that you can take. That step does not necessarily have to mean that you become a ministry leader of a multi-generational ministry that is intended and must absolutely grow to whatever size. It doesn't mean that. I mean, God is up to something and wants you to see it and join in. Maybe some of you have noticed that today, and maybe the only thing that happens is you invite some kids over through their grandparents to jump in all the leaves in your yard. And that does something to that family that God wants done. It's all examples. There, God has an infinite number of things to be done that we can join in with. Remember Terry Fulham's saying, our God doesn't even make two snowflakes alike. The ministry would just have infinite variety. You don't have to do things like I do or like anybody else does. And it may be instructive and helpful for a little bit, but there comes a point where you walk with Jesus and people encourage you in it and you go ahead in what Jesus wants you to do. Now, let me just underline one other item very briefly. The primary. If you don't get anything else today, get this one. The primary, foundational function that must go on for churches to grow is discernment. It is not thinking up a program, getting somebody to do it, so that people will come and get into the program. If you do that, then what happens is you start running the program so that people will keep coming to the program. The program becomes the point instead of Jesus. It's discernment. What is God up to? What is God disrupting and inviting us into? What is God doing that God is beginning to show us, that God is inviting us to join in with? What is it? That's the primary function that grows this church and any other church. Do you remember who said, I will build my church? Anybody know? Jesus. Jesus said, I will build my church. Well, who are we to tell Jesus? Well, all right, Jesus, you can take a break on this one. We got it. No, he still builds us church, and he invites us into that. And discerning what he is doing is how the church builds and grows. It's how we bear much fruit. All these things we've talked about over the past few years about listening to Jesus and coming close to him and picking up on what he's doing. That's how this church grows. That's where we need to commit ourselves. Now, how do you do that? I think you all got the stewardship letter this week. And the question that's in there that we're asking you to pray about and consider: if the Spirit of God were to empower you to do anything with St. Francis, what would it be? As you listen to the Spirit of God for that, you are growing in your capacity for discernment. And you begin catching things which will release the growth of this church. It's us together doing that. If Jesus is going to empower you to do something, I personally want to do absolutely everything I can to see that work in your life. Because that's why I'm here. All right. Let me leave you with that. I hope you got some good notes. Please stand.